This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, as part of the National Great Big Green Week, Welwyn and Hatfield Borough Council organised a show round of the Severn Trent Green Power North London Anaerobic Digestion Facility at Courser's Farm in Colney Heath. That's between Hatfield and St Albans. And that's the place that takes our food waste and turns it into energy and fertiliser. I went along to find out what it was like. And Jessica Beer, Business Development Manager from Severn Trent Green Power, showed us around. Now, the tour was scheduled to last for an hour and a half, and I was a bit sceptical about that, as I was wondering how much there was to say about what I imagined was going to be really quite a smelly sight. As it turned out, everyone, including me, was fascinated, and Jessica was bombarded with questions. Is it better to use compostable food caddy bags? Can we put plastic items like cups that say they're compostable into our food waste? Why does the facility smell unbelievably bad inside, but not outside? Poor woman, we were just like a bunch of school kids. I thought I would do my best to bring the show round to you and to get Jessica onto the show to tell us about the site and answer some of those questions. Jessica, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Environment Matters today. And thank you so much for that fabulously interesting tour of the North London Anaerobic Digestion Facility. Actually, do you have an abbreviation for that for us so we can call it something a little shorter?
Yes, so anaerobic digestion is a bit of a mouthful, so we tend to abbreviate it to AD, so North London AD Facility.
Fantastic. Well, as I say, I thought it was really very interesting going around there. So could you start by telling us the food waste that goes to the facility, where does it come from?
Absolutely. And I'll start by saying thank you for coming. It was lovely to have you at site and complete that tour. But yes, so the food waste that comes into our North London AD facility, it's a mix of commercial food waste. So that will be from food manufacturers. But a huge proportion of it is made up of local authority household waste. So that's the food waste that you put out in the little bins out by the curbside and they get picked up by the bin men. That gets brought in to North London. So it is a majority local authority food waste, but we like to top it up with the commercial waste because that allows a little bit of flexibility, particularly throughout the year when we might see a seasonal fluctuations in the amount of waste that's getting picked up from residents' houses, especially when it comes to times like after Christmas. We tend to see a lot more food waste after Christmas because people produce an awful lot more for some reason every year. So we need to have that sort of buffer there. But from the local authority perspective, locally, so we have a contract with Hertfordshire County Council. So we process the household food waste that's picked up in St Albans, Decorum, Hartsmere, Three Rivers, Watford and Welwyn Hatfield. And that's really important because most of them are directly delivered, which means the vehicles that are emptying the bins from the side of the road are coming straight to our site to tip.
So probably most of the people listening to this, this is where your food waste goes to. In nice simple ways, could you explain what happens to that food once it arrives? As you say, it arrives straight in the same lorry that we see picking up our food waste. What happens when it arrives at your AD facility?
Absolutely, I can tell you what happens to it. This is the interesting bit. So the vehicles will come in and they tip the food waste from the back of the vehicle into a bunker. So it's basically a hole in the ground. And we then take the food waste and it gets passed through a depackaging process. So the caddy liners that you use at home will get removed from the food waste. And then the food is chopped up into lots of small pieces. So it needs to be less than 12 millimeters in size in order to go through the system. We will mix it with liquid waste. So a lot of that will be the commercial liquid waste. So things like fats and oils and milk from dairies, that kind of thing, because we need to make that food waste a pumpable slurry. We call it food waste soup, and it needs to be pumpable because it needs to go around site through all the different stages. So once it's been turned into this soup, it will get sent out into huge tanks out the back of site, which are our digestion tanks, and that's where the magic happens. So we heat up those tanks to around 37 to 40 degrees Celsius, and that is obviously body temperature. We stir the food waste inside, so we keep it agitated, keep it moving, and what they're effectively doing is mimicking the human stomach. So just like if you were to eat a large meal, that food would digest. That's exactly what's happening in these tanks. The food waste is digesting, hence the name anaerobic digestion. As it breaks down, as it digests, it releases a biogas, and we are capturing that biogas in the roofs of the tank. We actually, they sort of look like they've got a big trampoline on top. That gas is what we capture, and then we will convert to electricity at the end of the process. And then we're still left with a solid, which will then be pasteurized on site, and that becomes a liquid fertilizer.
And what happens to that liquid fertilizer? Where does it go then?
So the liquid fertilizer is a really great nutrient-rich liquid fertilizer that's suitable for agricultural use. So we call it a digestate fertilizer, and that will go out to local farmers. So we really try and keep close as possible to site, to farmers that are local in the area, and it gets spread back out onto cropland. So it really is a beautiful closed loop process to hopefully grow more food, which might end up back at site again.
Well, I bet they love that at the moment, especially with the price of fertiliser due to the problems in the Gulf. So good to see that there's a solution close to home there. Now, you mentioned that the food was depackaged. What happens to the stuff that is depackaged?
So the depackaging machine, which removes the liners, as I say, primarily the liners that people are using at home to line their caddies, that all gets taken out. And that doesn't matter whether it's a plastic liner or a biodegradable or compostable liner. And the reason that we remove them all, regardless of whether they're plastic or biodegradable, is that this process is anaerobic, which means it doesn't have oxygen in the system. And that biodegradable compostable liner does need oxygen to break down. So we have to remove them all regardless. And if we weren't to remove that biodegradable, it would end up in the fertilizer at the end, which is why it has to come out. So they're all stripped out and they're squeezed so that any liquid will go back in with the food. And then that squeezed out plastic is sent to an energy from waste facility where it will be converted into electricity.
So it sounds to me, as you say, it doesn't matter whether we put in a biodegradable caddy bag or another kind of caddy bag. I just wondered which food caddy bags you would suggest that we used.
It's entirely up to you. It's a personal choice. As I say, our process can deal with both plastic and biodegradables. We do actually recommend, if you've got another type of plastic bag at home, something like a bread bag or a salad bag, a carrier bag, something that would be going in your bin anyway, why not get another use out of it? Use it to line your caddy. We're aware that for a lot of people, using a bag is the difference between using your food bin and not using your food bin. So we have designed our system to be able to deal with the liners. I mean, some people don't use a liner at all, and that's absolutely fine if you want to go naked. But yeah, we're happy with any type of bag. As long as it's not a black bin liner, if it fits in your caddy, then we can take it.
Well, that is really good to know. And talking about compostable things, so I just wondered, sometimes we see things like cups that look like they're made of plastic, but say that they're biodegradable. I wondered if we could put things like that into our food waste caddy. Will they be digested and biodegraded as well?
Well, yes. So that's a common misconception. So those products, although they are compostable and biodegradable, just like with the caddy liners, they won't actually break down in anaerobic digestion. And so they would be considered sort of contamination from our point of view. They're only really suitable for if your food waste is going to the sort of an industrial composting facility, which is not the same as anaerobic digestion. But with us, absolutely not. The only bin that they could go into would be your residual bin.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like a great process that you've got going on there. It's doing something with our food waste. It's converting it into a useful fertilizer for farmers. It's converting it into electricity for us to use back at home. However, there are some things that people might be concerned about. I suppose with all of that food there, people might be concerned about things like rats, vermin. What do you do to ensure that they're not a problem?
Understandable, obviously, people associate food waste with, like you say, rats and vermin and things like that. But we do design our facilities and operate them in a way to minimize the risk of vermin. So as I mentioned at the beginning about the food waste being tipped into the bunker, that's a way of avoiding the risk of having rats hanging around, basically. But we also do all of the processing within pipes and underground. So the only risk would be sort of at the beginning when it's being tipped, and that all happens inside that enclosed reception building. And we actually operate speed roller shutter doors. They go up and down very quickly, the doors that the vehicles enter through. And again, that actually minimizes the chance of vermin getting in. In addition to that, we do have an air system, which means that flies don't tend to be much of a problem either, even in the summer months when it's very hot and smelly.
Yes, well, smell, that's another thing as well, isn't it? Has to be said that smell does make quite an impact on you when you go into the building. Can you just tell us how you ensure that that smell doesn't get out to people who live nearby?
Absolutely. And you've made a good point there, Amanda, as well. You mentioned when you enter the building, and you will remember from your trip to site that once you exit the building or before you go in, you can't smell it at all. And again, that is something that's very important in the design and operation of one of our AD facilities is odour. We want to keep everyone in the local area happy, and also our staff. They don't want to be surrounded by it all day if they're not in the reception building. So I mentioned the roller shutter doors. They're also very helpful for minimising odour egress. So minimising the risk of odour coming out the doors is the fact that they go up and down very quickly. And they, you know, they remain closed unless a vehicle is coming in. So we also have an air control system, which is specialised for anaerobic digestion, which means that effectively air is constantly being sucked into the building rather than going out through the doors when they're open. That air that is getting sucked in is going through a biofilter and a scrubber. So it's scrubbed using water, and then it goes through a wood chip biofilter, which removes any residual odour that's in the air before it's released, which means that as soon as you leave, you can't smell the food.
Yes. Well, certainly on the day this I was there, it did seem to be working really very well indeed. So the minute the biogas that is produced is burnt to make electricity, do you have any plans to use the gas instead?
So at our North London site, we use combined heat and power engines, which is for the conversion of biogas to electricity. That's the way that the site has been constructed. And as far as I'm aware, that's how it will continue. It operates well. We generate 3 megawatts of electricity. That's renewable electricity made in this country. So it is a really good source. Some of our other sites use what we call gas to grid, which is they convert biogas to biomethane, and that goes into the gas network. But what your site has really depends on when it was built and when it was constructed and what sort of is the requirement at that time. So I can't speak for the future.
And just finally, so whilst you're doing really good things about food waste, do you think we should be still thinking about reducing the amount of food that we're wasting?
Absolutely. Food waste, the word waste has often gets thought of as a bit of a dirty word. It doesn't need to be good food that people are throwing away. It can be out of date food. It can be the bits of food when you're preparing a meal, things like fruit and veg peelings, bones, eggshells, that kind of stuff. We still want, there is always going to be an element of food waste in a household. However, we don't want people to think that it's just okay to throw everything away. What we really want to target is the people that aren't using their food bins, that are maybe throwing food waste into residual bins. That's always what we're targeting with our local authority customers. We are aware that food's expensive. There's a cost of living crisis. So people have probably become a lot more aware of the food that they're wasting it. And that is okay. We're all for that.
So there's always going to be food waste, but you're making the best of it and certainly putting it to excellent use in the anaerobic digestion facility. Thank you so much for telling us about that today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was talking there to Jessica Beer, Business Development Manager for 7 Trent Green Power. Now, I found it really helpful to know that my compostable food waste caddy liners end up being incinerated along with any other plastic packaging that arrives with the food waste. And you might have spotted in the interview that I was getting a little bit sloppy with my use of the terms biodegradable and compostable. Now, to be fair, plastic packaging that boasts either of those terms can't go into the anaerobic digester and can't go into your green waste bin either. Neither can it go into your regular recycling. Sadly, without a dedicated facility, the compostable plastics can only go in your residual waste bin and be burnt. And biodegradable plastic, whilst it needs no special environment to break down, can take weeks, months, even millennia to break down. There's no limit. So again, it's into the residual waste bin for biodegradable plastics too. Now, as Jessica said, there will always be food that we can't eat, things like peelings, cores, bones. But it's good for our pocket and for the environment if we can cut down on the amount of edible food that we waste, which is why Hertfordshire Councils have funded access to the Five Dinner app, which is now free for all Hertfordshire residents. It usually costs £7.99 per month, and it's a great tool to help reduce food waste. It can create you not just a personalised meal plan, but also a shopping list for that meal plan. I'll pop the link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.